suggested by actual events. A woman is running through the woods. A man grabs her.
No! Shh, quiet!
Michelle Lee.
No! Shut up!
A man on his knees is shot by another man. A murder on Shadow Mountain. A police station is shown and the screen reads Duquesne, Oregon. 27 years later. Starring Peter Coyote. A computer screen reads Forensic Laboratory Database. Rex Lynn. A fingerprint appears on a computer monitor. Josh Keaton. Tim Kelleher. The computer reads no match. Courtney Peldon. Donnelly Rhodes. Jamie Knox. A photo of a dead man is shown. He's lying face down with no shirt on. Vincent Gale. Yana McIntosh. Music by Patrick Williams. Fingerprints are scanned into a computer. The screen reads Department of Defense, United States Navy, followed by several numerical codes. The monitor shows two fingerprints and reads Match Found. A pickup truck stops in front of a house. The screen reads Cartwright, Oklahoma. A man gets out of a truck.
This is it.
A woman, a boy, and a girl also get out of the truck and stand in front of the house.
Jenny?
Can we go home now?
What are we doing here?
Just give me a second. Pal, tell me what you see.
A trashed out old house.
You better go check out the pool.
Yeah?
Kurt! Be careful!
Kurt runs to the back of the house.
Princess, what about you? What do you see?
I don't know.
Well, over the entrance there, that bay window, that's your room. With a bath.
My own bath?
Denny, please don't tell me you bought this house.
I didn't buy this house. I wanted you to see it first.
Well, I've seen it, more or less.
Honey, the house is in foreclosure. We can get fantastic terms from the bank. Look, I made a sketch.
He holds up a sketch of the house all fixed up. The girl points to the dilapidated house.
Yeah, but what about that?
Well, we'll paint it, and we'll fix it. Can't you dream?
Kirk returns.
Dad, there's no pool?
No, not yet, but there's room for one, isn't there? Come on, guys. I love it.
Later, the pickup truck pulls into the driveway of another home.
Hi, Dad. Let's go.
Kurt and his sister get out of the truck.
Start your project, okay?
I'll be at Patrick's.
Goodbye, honey. We have to talk about this.
All right. After dinner. But don't be upset. This thing isn't carved in stone, you know.
I just wish you hadn't involved the kids. Their heads are spinning.
Yeah. You're right. Are you mad?
Yes.
How mad?
Not that mad.
She leans in the truck window and kisses him.
All right. I'll see you later.
All right.
Denny drives away as the woman watches him go. As Denny turns a corner down the street, a police car comes toward the house. The woman walks into the house as the officer driving the police car watches.
Hey, Al.
Later, the woman's holding a ledger book in a hardware store.
Receipts are up. You're doing fine.
Why am I so low on cash?
Because, look, last year's stock on hand, this year's.
She points to the ledger book.
Well, I'm carrying a lot of inventory.
Mm.
Solution?
Stop buying things.
We're so fun in that. Hey, you got something on your mind?
Denny's looking at another house.
How long you been in your place?
A year and a half. Denny fixed it up, and I like it.
In other words, it's bad timing.
Maybe, maybe not. Denny has this way of taking on too much. He buys a house we can't afford, and then Somehow he makes a profit.
Man works like a slave.
Benny's on a ladder when another man walks in.
Hey!
Hey, Mac.
What are you doing here on a Saturday?
Trying to earn a buck. What's your excuse?
Oh, I got a new medical building over on Sycamore. Good-sized job. Electrical sub is yours if you want it.
Well, yes.
Well, those are for you then.
Mac, the one for you.
Oh, shut up. You're doing me a favor.
He hands Denny construction plans.
Oh, some guy called for you at the office.
Yeah? Who's that?
He didn't leave his name. I guess he figured you still worked for me. I gave him your number.
All right.
Yeah. Dumbest thing I ever did was letting you go out on your own. I should have made you a partner first.
Yeah, you should have. Thank you, Mac.
In the parking lot of a grocery store, a balding man approaches Denny's wife.
Here, let me get that.
Oh, thank you.
No problem.
You live around here?
No, I'm just visiting.
He puts a bag in the trunk of her car.
Thank you.
Have a good day.
The man leaves as Denny's wife gets in the car and pulls away. As she leaves, the bald man walks up to a police car and talks to the officer inside. Later, Denny's wife is putting lotion on her hands when Sarah walks in.
Hi. That smells good.
Here.
She wipes some lotion on Sarah's hands.
Are we really getting a new house? We'll see. I like my room now. My own bath would be nice.
No more sharing with Kurt.
The barbarian!
Good.
Denny and Kurt are in a workshop soldering something when Denny's wife walks in.
And what have we here?
Mom, check it out.
Not another gizmo.
It's a good one, too.
They're all good.
Can we show her?
Fire it up. Ta-da.
Oh, neat.
A harmonica moves back and forth in front of a fan that blows air into it. Later, Denny's wife is sitting in bed working with a small adding machine.
I don't know.
He sits on the bed.
Seemed like a good deal.
It's a great deal.
But?
It'll take away our cushion.
Well, could be a long-term investment.
Short-term? I don't want to pack again.
Oh, Barb, there's just so much more I want to do for us.
You will. We will.
She moves next to him.
When we can. I have everything I want right now. Mad at me?
Not really.
She kisses his shoulder.
Prove it.
He faces her and they lean back on the bed, kissing. Later, it's dark in the room and they're asleep. Barb lifts her head up.
Denny! I think there's someone outside.
Soon after, Denny's walking through the house with a flashlight. Barb is behind him. He looks through a set of blinds and sees a man looking into their car.
Hell, somebody's messing with the car.
Oh, Denny.
Don't worry about it.
He goes to the door.
Police! Move! I say get down!
Several police officers rush through the door and push Denny against the floor.
You're making a mistake.
Kurt and Sarah come running out.
No!
Let go of my son!
No!
Let go of my kids!
Okay.
Let go!
I'm all right. Everybody just be calm. It's some kind of a mistake. It's just a mistake, all right?
The balding man walks in the front door.
Are you Dennis Patrick Traynor?
Yeah.
I have a warrant for your arrest. on a charge of willful murder.
Wait! It's okay. It's okay.
Take him to the car. Read him his rights.
An officer takes a handcuffed Denny out.
Wait! You can't do this.
I'm sorry, ma'am. I'm afraid I can.
Barb runs to the front door, but police hold her back.
Denny!
Call Mark White. Call Mark.
Oh, where are they taking him?
Later, Barb walks into a police station.
Hello. I'm Barbara Traynor. My husband is
Barbara.
How is he? Have you seen him?
Just for a minute. They're booking him right now.
None of this makes any sense.
This is what I know. Denny has been linked to a murder that happened in Oregon in 1972.
Linked how?
Well, the Oregon police matched his fingerprints to the murder weapon.
What kind of murder weapon?
A gun, a revolver.
Denny hates guns. He wouldn't touch a gun.
Good. Maybe that'll help. Now, tomorrow we go before Judge Weiler. The Oregon police want to extradite him to stand trial.
How can we stop it?
A judge can deny extradition if a suspect has not been clearly identified, and a 27-year-old computer archive fingerprint is not enough to identify Denny of anything.
I'm scared.
Now, look. This is just some kind of computer glitch. Don't you worry. We'll make this thing go away. Denny told me he's never even been to Oregon.
Later, an officer lets Barb into a locked room where Denny is seated. Denny stands and they hug.
How are you?
Oh, this is a nightmare.
Oh, how are the kids?
Upset.
Damn it. These rotten bastards. They scared our kids half to death.
Mark's gonna file a complaint with the judge.
Good. You told the kids it's all a mistake.
Yes. Can you think of any reason?
No. How can you ask me that? Barb, do you believe me?
Yes, of course.
What about Mark?
Yes, absolutely.
Denny shakes his head. Later, they're in court.
State of Oregon versus Dennis Patrick Traynor. Petition for extradition. Counsel.
We're ready, Judge.
Ready, Your Honor.
Proceed.
Fairly straightforward, Your Honor.
The warrant alleges a murder took place on the night of August 12, 1972 in Duquesne County, Oregon. The victim, Wayne Kennedy, was shot to death with a .38 caliber handgun. Fingerprints recovered from that gun matched those of the accused. On that basis and supported by corroborating evidence, the state of Oregon requests Mr. Traynor be extradited for the purpose of standing trial.
Mark White stands.
Your Honor, there is nothing about this charge that is straightforward. The alleged crime took place 27 years ago. Now, my client assures me that not only has he never met anybody named Wayne Kennedy, he's never even set foot in the state of Oregon. But he has lived here for 8 years in this state, and he's a family man and a businessman, and he's never had the slightest trouble with the law. Now, somebody has made a serious mistake. This whole warrant is a travesty.
You mentioned corroborating evidence, Mr. Carter?
That's correct.
Well, then you better present it.
Yes, Your Honor. The state would like to call Andrea Darden.
A blonde-haired woman walks into the courtroom. As Denny looks at her, he puts his hand to his mouth and recalls riding past a female hitchhiker carrying a backpack on the side of the road. Andrea takes the stand. Barbara leans toward Denny.
Do you know her?
Mrs. Darden, have you met Dennis Patrick Traynor prior to today?
I have.
When?
August 12, 1972.
Where were you at the time?
Hitchhiking on the highway outside of Grants Pass, Oregon.
Would you describe the circumstances, please?
He and another man, an older man, gave me a ride. I was going to San Diego.
And how can you be sure that Dennis Patrick Traynor is the young man you met briefly so many years ago?
You showed me a picture.
U.S. Navy photo ID taken less than 3 months before the murder of Wayne Kennedy. Your Honor, I'd like this photograph entered in evidence.
He shows a sheet of paper to the judge.
This photograph?
Yes.
He shows it to Andrea.
Would you read the name on the ID?
Dennis Patrick Traynor.
Barbara's eyes are wide and Mark White frowns.
Is there anything else, Mrs. Darden, anything specific that would identify the defendant to you beyond a doubt as one of the men who gave you a ride that day?
He had a tattoo on his left hand. It was a sailing ship. It was very distinct.
Denny leans his forehead into his tattooed hand.
Thank you.
Barbara's stare slowly shifts from Andrea to Denny.
Petition for extradition is hereby granted. Defendant is remanded into custody.
Denny looks down as Mark sighs. Denny is handcuffed. As he's led out of the courtroom, he stops in front of Barbara.
Sorry.
Denny is led away. At the Traynor house, Mac is loading a bag into an SUV while a woman helps Sarah into the vehicle. Inside the home, Kurt takes a trophy off of a dresser, then Barbara walks into Kurt's room.
Honey, you don't need that.
I want it.
Barbara kneels beside him.
You and Sarah are only going to be with Mac and Viv for a few days. Viv is going to come by here every day, keep an eye on things. No one's going to touch your stuff. We're all going to be back together soon.
Dad, too.
Dad, too.
Kurt puts the trophy in his bag. Outside, Mac takes Kurt's bag and puts it in the SUV. Viv is walking with Barbara.
You sure we can't drive you to the airport?
Are you doing enough of it?
Nonsense. It'll be good to have kids in the house again.
You take care.
She kisses Barbara on the cheek. Mac walks up to them and puts his arm around Barbara.
Whatever you need, whatever it is, we want to help.
He lied, Mac. Why would he lie?
I don't know.
He hugs her, then gets into the SUV with Viv, Kurt, and Sarah.
Hey. Be good, kids. I'll call you tonight.
She hugs Sarah through the open car window.
Love you.
I love you.
She holds Kurt's hand for a moment, then they drive away as Barbara watches them go. Later, Barbara closes a suitcase and takes it off her bed. She stops and straightens the bed covers. She looks at the bed for a long moment, then picks up the suitcase and leaves. Plane is landing on a runway. The screen reads Duquesne, Oregon. Later, Barbara drives into a parking space. She gets out of the car and enters a doorway under a sign which reads, Dawes and Wysocki, Attorneys at Law. Inside, she's seated with a man and a woman.
How was your trip?
I came straight from the airport. Have you seen my husband?
This morning.
Uh-huh. Bail was denied.
What else?
Mr. Traynor wasn't very cooperative.
He fired us.
Why?
Ask him.
No one can help your husband unless he's willing to help himself.
Look, you don't know us, Mrs. Traynor. You hired us over the phone, I suspect because we're local and because our fees are mid-range. We're willing to try, but we can't work in a vacuum.
What are you saying?
The case against your husband is substantial.
According to these documents, your husband claims that he was never in the car with the victim, that he's never been to Oregon until now. That doesn't fit the facts.
There are circumstances in your husband's favor. The age of the crime, no eyewitness, his good record since. He should consider a plea.
Plead guilty to murder?
It's a very old case. They'll be happy to clear it. We could almost guarantee a reduced charge.
Assuming he confesses and gives all the details about how he murdered that man. Thank you for your time. I'm at the Shadow Mountain Inn. You can send your bill there.
Mrs. Traynor.
Barbara runs out of the office into her car. She tries to put the key in the lock, but it won't go. She stops and rests against the side of the car.
All right, coming through now.
Later at the jail, she's allowed into a locked room. Denny is let out of his cell and into the room with Barbara. They stare at each other. He looks around sheepishly.
Kurt wrote, and
she takes papers from her handbag.
Sarah sent a card. The others are mostly from people we know in town.
Denny nods and looks out a window.
I met with your attorneys.
Couple of damn kids.
He walks to the window.
You fired them.
Yeah, I'm going with the public defender. We'll make some kind of deal. Cop some kind of plea and just clean and simple and get it over with.
Why? What did you do? Danny?
He lowers his head.
Tell me.
I was in San Francisco. I was tending bar back in 72. And I'd been out of the Navy a couple months. It was an okay job, but I was restless and I decided to move on.
Hey, how you doing?
All right.
The man sits on a bar stool.
Shot a bourbon?
Sure thing.
A younger Denny's behind the bar.
It's quiet, huh? Yeah, it won't be in about an hour. Yeah? That's when all the touring boats get back. Come here, make that a double.
Double?
Denny pours more bourbon.
Oh, let me see.
Denny shows him the tattoo on his hand.
Nice. Where'd you get it?
Hawaii.
Service.
Yeah, just out.
Navy. Swabbies. We gotta stick together, right?
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Where'd you serve?
Every inch of the Mediterranean. That's ancient history. How about you? Good gig here? Decent money up there, right? A lot of action from the ladies?
Yeah, but I'm actually going to be leaving in a couple days.
Where to?
Seattle. I got a good job prospect up there.
Sounds good. What's the damage?
$3.
The man puts some money on the bar.
Keep it.
Thanks.
Listen, if you want, I can give you a ride part of the way. I'm heading up to Portland. I wouldn't mind the company.
When?
Huh?
Really, that'd be great. Except I gotta clear it with the boss. I told him I'd be working through Friday.
So. I'll tell you what, it works out. I'll pick you up here tomorrow morning, 8 o'clock.
Thanks. I don't know.
Hey, kid. You hear that? That's opportunity knocking.
Denny smiles and the man walks away. The next morning, a Cadillac convertible pulls up and Denny's waiting with a duffel bag.
Hey, you made it, huh?
Yeah.
Come on, let's get the show on the road.
Denny picks up his bag and they drive off together. The man takes a sip from a can and raises it to Denny. Driving through the night to
Tulsa. Yep. Help yourself.
Maybe later. You're a quiet one, huh?
Sorry.
No, please, don't apologize. Better than having somebody yapping at me the whole time.
My old lady was like that.
No, thank you.
Are you married?
Do I look like a total idiot?
Nah, we were shacking up.
He picks up an empty pack of cigarettes and throws it out of the car.
Look in the glove compartment, will you?
Yeah.
Denny opens the glove compartment and the man reaches in and grabs a pack of cigarettes. There's a revolver inside.
Doesn't bother you, does it?
No.
Didn't think so. An old serviceman like you. Pick it up. Careful, it's loaded.
Denny picks up the gun and spins the barrel.
That's just my belly gun.
Denny puts the gun back.
This.
He pulls an automatic pistol from under the seat.
This is my stop.
Nice.
They pass a young woman hitchhiking. She's wearing high heels, short shorts, and a hat. The man pulls the Cadillac over to the side of the road.
Sonny boy, this must be our lucky day.
He backs up the car, but the woman gets into another car behind them.
Son of a bitch!
He pulls away again. Later, they pass a sign that reads, "Welcome to Oregon. We hope you will enjoy your visit." Denny's asleep, and the man is drinking a beer as they continue down the road.
Hey, here we go.
A woman with a large backpack is hitchhiking in the opposite direction. It's the woman Denny remembered in the courtroom.
Quick, get in the back.
What?
Move!
As Denny climbs into the back seat, the man turns the car around. He stops near the hitchhiker.
Hey, where are you headed, miss?
San Diego.
Hop in.
She hesitates and looks down the road in both directions.
San Diego, huh? I used to live down there when I was in the Navy. My buddy here just got out. What's your name?
Andrea.
Kid, where are your manners? Will you get out and open the door for Andrea, please?
Denny gets out and looks at her.
Hi.
He opens the door for her.
Sorry we can't take you all the way to San Diego, but we can get you started at least.
She sits in the front passenger seat. Denny climbs in the back and they drive away.
So what's in San Diego?
My boyfriend. He's in school there. Weren't you driving the other way on the highway?
As a matter of fact, we were. You know, I saw you standing there and I said to myself, pretty girl traveling all alone? That could be trouble. So my buddy and I decided to be good Samaritans.
She looks back at Denny.
How about a beer?
She shakes her head.
You want a pop one for me?
She picks up the last beer of a six-pack.
Is that it? We have to stock the supplies, kids. Anyway, we're having some fun, right?
later, Andrea is sitting in the car at a gas station. Two girls run to a station wagon. Denny and the man are inside paying the cashier.
We're in, you know.
She's got a boyfriend, Wayne.
Believe that, huh? You got a lot to learn, my friend. Just pay attention. We'll both get some.
I'm not interested.
Kid, is there something wrong with you?
They walk out to the car, but Andrea is not there. Wayne puts a bag in the front seat.
Wait here.
He walks away. Denny sees Andrea in the back of the station wagon as it pulls away. She looks at Denny and sinks lower into her seat.
She's not in the can. Have you seen her?
No.
Wayne looks in the store, then leans against the doorway next to a newspaper rack. He lowers his head, then kicks over the newspapers. A store clerk comes out.
Hey, cut it out! Excuse me? You got something to say to me?
Hey, look, you don't want to get involved in this, okay?
Go back inside.
Denny steps between them.
You guys got 1 minute to get out of here before I call the cops.
Oh, really? How's that?
He knocks over another display. Back in the jail.
I refused to get back in the car, and he drove off and left me there.
What did you do?
Took the bus back to San Francisco. It's the last I heard about it until the police showed up.
Well, you didn't do anything wrong. Why lie?
Because I read about Wayne's murder. My fingerprints were on the gun. I knew that they would blame me. I was terrified.
I'll talk to the district attorney's office. Tell him you wanted to change your statement.
I blew it. In their eyes, I'm already a perjurer. Why should they believe anything I have to say now?
Because it's the truth. There's nothing else.
Denny shakes his head. Barbara enters an office next to a sign that reads Arthur DeMarco, District Attorney. A dark-haired man meets her, the balding man sitting in a chair.
Art DeMarco?
Barbara Trainer.
You know Detective Bonnie?
Unfortunately, yes.
Coffee?
No, thank you.
I hear you're without counsel.
Hopefully that won't be necessary.
Why are you here, Mrs. Trainer?
My husband would like to change his statement. He told me
Excuse me. You understand that anything said in this room is on the record?
Yes, I do.
Please go on.
My husband was in that car with Wayne Kennedy. They met in San Francisco and Mr. Kennedy offered him a ride to Seattle. My husband lied about never being in Oregon. There was a loaded revolver in the glove compartment. My husband saw it and he handled it with Mr. Kennedy's permission. The important thing is, there's the explanation for your fingerprint evidence, which has nothing to do with my husband being a murderer. He is not.
Mrs. Trainer, Detective Bonnie has made me aware of all the relevant facts. What you say is interesting, but assuming it's true does nothing to absolve your husband.
Barbara turns and glares at the detective.
Why not?
I prefer not to discuss details of the case without an attorney for Mr. Trainer present.
You're going to prosecute him for murder.
The charges stand. Get yourself a lawyer, Mrs. Trainer. You'll need one.
Gentlemen.
Barbara walks out. The detective follows her.
Mrs. Trainer.
What is it with you, detective?
Can I buy you some coffee?
Some sort of obsession? A stain on your perfect record?
I owe you an apology for the way the arrest went down. Warren arrived late. We'd been waiting all day. Hell, I've been waiting 27 years. I'd be lying to you if I told you we weren't ready and eager to kick your door down. Then I saw your kids and all, and... Well, we should have waited until the morning. I apologize.
But not for arresting my husband.
No, ma'am.
You waited 27 years to find the truth.
That's right.
Well, then we both want the same thing. Can't you tell me what you know?
Look, it's all in the files. Wayne Kennedy's body was found a little before noon on the 13th. Been dead about 12 hours. One shot to the chest, another close range to the brain. put an all-points bulletin out on his car. Turned up a couple days later in San Francisco, abandoned. Miss Traynor, ask yourself whether your husband's worth this kind of loyalty. Whole families get dragged under when something like this happens. It'd be a shame if it happens to yours.
Then help me.
He pulls out a sketch of Denny when he was younger. Later, Barbara shows it to Denny.
A liquor store clerk described the man he saw with Wayne at 10 p.m. the night of the murder. He described you. When the car was found in San Francisco, your fingerprints were on the steering wheel in Wayne's blood. How could you keep this from me? This changes everything. I hardly know you anymore. Maybe I never did. Did you kill that man?
He looks up at her. The scene changes to young Denny and Wayne at the gas station.
What's that?
The clerk walks back into the store.
And you, don't ever crowd me again. You want to tell to me or you want to tell to the cops? Let's go.
They get into the car. Later, they see the hitchhiker with the high heels, short shorts, and hat.
Whoa, look what we got here.
Back at the jail.
There was another girl?
No, it was the first hitchhiker, the one we didn't pick up before. She said her name was Sherry. She just graduated high school in Sacramento. Was on her way to Eugene to visit her aunt. Of course, her father had given her money to take the bus, but she thought she'd save it by hitchhiking. Hi. Wayne thought he'd died and gone to heaven.
Wayne is talking to Sherry in the front seat of the Cadillac.
So wait, they're both teachers?
Yeah. Dad teaches English and Mom's math.
Which one do you take care of?
No. Neither, I guess. I actually want to be a dancer.
Really?
Yeah.
I'll tell you what. You got the legs for it, all right?
Well, I don't know. Mom says I have to get a degree first, and then I could try dancing if I still want to.
Yeah. Come here, take a look at this kid. Look at you. Ow! Your heart is a rock!
He touches her thigh.
You can break a man in two. Hey, don't worry about him. He's been away at sea too long, if you know what I mean.
She looks at Denny.
Yeah, don't look very happy.
Oh, okay.
He's just a little sour.
Oh, are you sour?
Forget about him, will ya? I'm sweet enough for the two of us. Hey, you want some wine?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, of course you do. Okay, give me one of those bottles of wine up here. Come on.
Denny hands him a bottle.
Ta-da!
Thanks.
Wayne hands her the bottle. She unscrews the cap and wipes the mouth of the bottle before taking a drink.
Atta girl. Come on, let me bash. Let's drink.
More? Okay.
She takes a long drink.
That's my girl. Oh!
It's dark outside. The top of the Cadillac is up as Wayne pulls up to a small store. Sherry is dancing in her seat.
All right, I'm taking orders. Who wants what? Beer? Vino? What do you want?
I need something to eat.
Ice cream here.
Ice cream? Mm. What do I get?
Huh?
You know, for the ride, the ice cream.
Drop it, Wayne.
I got it. Give me a kiss.
You're so bad. Stop. Please. No, stop.
He tries to kiss her.
Wayne, weren't we going to go inside?
Yeah. We're going inside. We are. We're going inside. Ice cream, right?
She nods.
Can you stay right here now?
Wayne and Denny go into the store.
We just kept driving. Wayne kept drinking. I was nodding in and out, dizzy, hoping I wouldn't get sick. Sherry fell asleep. And I remember seeing her face in the glow of the dash. She looked so young.
Wayne pulls off the main road. He drives into a foggy wooded area.
Where are we?
Sherry wakes up.
Are we lost?
Hey, relax, relax. I have some friends. It's a married couple. I got a big horse ranch back in here. I figured since you two were so big, we'd stop there for the night and, you know, go on in the morning. You like horses?
I guess.
Good. Because they got some beauties, man.
There's no regular road into this place.
It's the long way around. This is a shortcut.
Wayne pulls into a clearing in the woods.
Why are we stopping?
The call of nature, baby.
Wayne gets out of the car.
You coming, kid?
Sherry turns to Denny.
Don't leave me. Please.
Outside, Wayne throws something into the woods.
Kid, you coming or not?
I'll be right back.
Sherry nods slightly as Denny gets out of the car. Denny walks to Wayne.
I don't believe there's any horse ranch up here. Well, that'd make you smarter than you look. Look, kid, here's the deal, okay? I got some business with that little girl back there. I want you to wait here, okay? When I'm done, I'll come back and get you. You can have your turn.
Denny frowns.
No! Suit yourself.
Wayne starts to walk away, but Denny stops him.
Kid, you're crowding me again.
And what if she doesn't want to?
Then I'll convince her.
That's rape, Wayne. You'll go to prison.
Only if she's around to talk about it.
You're not touching her.
She means that much to you, is it? Huh?
Yeah, she does.
Then why don't you say something? Fine, fine.
Denny turns to walk away, and Wayne picks up a thick piece of wood. He hits Denny in the back of the head, and Denny falls to the ground. Wayne walks to the car. Denny lifts his head and with blurry vision sees the car lights and Wayne's silhouette. He slowly stands.
Denny! Stop it! Stop! Denny! Denny! Oh, no! Stop it! Denny!
Denny falls again.
Stop!
Back at the jail.
You've told me so many stories. I don't know what to believe anymore. Guard.
She stands.
Where are you going?
Home. To take care of our children.
A guard opens the door, and she leaves. Denny is brought back to his cell.
And after we eat, I want you guys to help me clean up the house.
Sarah and Kurt are at the table.
There you go.
She sits with them.
Mmm. Looks good. So, how's things with Mac and Viv? I heard Mac let you use the skill saw.
Yeah.
Sounds like fun.
I missed you. And Daddy.
I know, honey.
She rubs Sarah's shoulder.
Your father's going to have to go to trial.
Sue told you he's not coming home.
Well, not right away.
Did he kill that man they say he did?
No.
So why don't they let him go?
Because a person's death is very serious. No matter who's to blame. That's what a trial is for, to settle things. Once and for all.
When are you going back to Oregon?
I don't know. I'm just happy to be home. I missed you guys so much, I could hardly stand it. Your daddy misses you, too. He loves you. He thinks about you every day.
He never wrote back.
Kurt leaves the table. Later, Barbara opens the front door.
Why didn't you call me?
Because I just got in last night. Hi.
Don't hi me. I got this in the mail.
She holds an envelope.
Kids, take a break.
Coffee? Yeah.
As they walk to the kitchen, Barbara points to the envelope.
These are good names, good people. Any one of them could do the job for you.
You're my bookkeeper. I want you.
I'm not available.
Till when?
Do you think I want to lose you? And my other clients?
She pours some coffee.
Leave him, Barbara.
Patrice.
You can't tell me that thought hasn't crossed your mind. You know he's guilty of sin.
Barbara hands her a mug.
I don't know that.
Why else would he lie? You only lie if you've got something to hide.
She notices Sarah standing in the doorway.
Not now, honey.
Sarah walks away.
I'm sorry.
Barbara points to the envelope.
Pick one.
How long can you go without an income, paying lawyer's fees, and still survive? Everybody in this town's worried about Danny. I'm worried about you. Don't go down with the ship, Barbara. For their sakes.
Barbara drives onto a construction site where Mac is talking to another man in a hard hat. The man leaves, and Mac helps Barbara up the stairs to the office.
You want a coffee?
Oh, I'm up to here.
She points to her forehead.
How's he holding up?
Barbara shrugs.
What's wrong? Something happened between you two?
I It's complicated, Mac. If I don't believe him this time, I don't know what to think anymore.
Why? Because he lied in court?
Because he lied to me. In court, out of court. Every day of our lives together.
Well, you know the details. You're on the inside, I'm not, but I know Denny. And I trust him. Now, if that makes me a fool, so be it.
You're no fool.
She kisses his cheek.
Here, take this.
He hands her an envelope and she looks inside.
This is money.
It's a cashier's check.
I can't.
It's not for you, it's for Denny, for his defense fund.
He doesn't have a defense fund.
Well, he does now. What are your options? You're going to take a second mortgage on the house, sell the truck, or clean out the savings account? This way he has something to come back to. It's an investment in our future work together.
How can you be so sure it'll turn out that way?
Well, I'm counting on you to make it happen.
Later, Barbara is at home in the workshop. She uncovers the harmonica playing device and starts to cry as she gently touches it. She remembers when Denny and Kurt demonstrated it for her.
Can I show her?
Fire it up.
Barbara quickly picks up a laundry basket and stands at the washing machine with her back to the door. Sarah comes in the doorway.
Are you mad at Daddy?
Your father's done things I don't understand.
What if you did understand?
I don't know.
Do you try, please?
Later, Barbara drives to the clearing in the woods and gets out of the car. She grabs a handful of moist dirt from the ground and rubs it in her fingers. Later, she's at the jail with Denny.
When did you get back?
A few hours ago. I'm ready to hear it. All of it.
In the clearing in the woods, young Denny stands, wobbles for a moment, then walks to the car. He looks inside, but no one is there. He looks under the seat, then opens the glove compartment. Starts to walk out of the woods. Then he gets out of the car and points the revolver at him.
Don't move!
What are you doing, kid?
Don't call me kid! I don't like it.
Wayne's shirt is torn and unbuttoned. His face is scratched.
Get on your knees.
Put the gun away.
Get on your knees!
All right, just take it easy, okay?
Wayne gets on his knees.
Where's the other gun? It's under the seat. I checked.
It's there. I don't have it.
Take off your shirt.
What if I don't? Hey, okay, all right?
Denny pulls the hammer back on the gun, and Wayne takes off his shirt.
All right?
Where is she?
She's gone.
Tell me!
Forget about her, okay? Because she's gone for good. And I gotta tell you, really missed out.
Denny starts to cry, and Wayne points to Denny's head.
You gotta have a doctor look at that kid before you bleed to death.
The automatic pistol is tucked into the back of Wayne's pants.
How could you hurt her?
I told you, kid, didn't I? I'm just a dirty old man. I can't help myself!
He pulls out the pistol and aims. They both fire and Wayne is shot in the stomach. Wayne takes aim, but Denny shoots him again and Wayne falls to the ground. Denny drops the gun, holds his head in his hands, and falls to his knees.
I was wounded. Wayne was dead, and so was Sherry.
How can you be so sure Sherry is dead?
Because I looked for her until it got light. I called her name over and over again, but I knew she wasn't going to answer. The brush was so thick up there, he could have buried her anywhere.
How long were you unconscious after he hit you?
I don't know. Not long.
Maybe she got away.
The killing was in the paper for weeks. She'd have called the police. Wayne told me he killed her, all right?
Not exactly. Besides, he was a liar. Detective Bonnie said he was never in the Navy or any other branch of service. Everything he told you were lies.
He had blood on his shirt, and he had scratches. And if you'd have looked in that man's eyes, you would have known that he was capable of anything.
Capable of killing, yes. Doesn't mean he did. I was there, Denny. Shadow Mountain. Exactly as you described. Nothing's changed. The forest is so thick you could hardly turn around. The ground is as hard as a rock. It would take someone a long time to dig a grave deep enough so that nobody would be found.
She's dead.
Maybe she was unconscious or hurt. Maybe when you called her, she ran away, wouldn't you?
That is not what happened. She is dead, and I got in the car, Wayne's car, and I drove to San Francisco, and I left it.
What about the other gun?
One I used?
Yes.
I threw it in the woods.
You've got to tell the police.
She takes something from a paper bag.
What is that?
You have to draw me a picture of Sherry to the best of your...
Are you crazy? Do you think I haven't thought this out? The police don't know there's a Sherry. And if they find another body up there, they'll blame that on me, too.
So we do nothing?
So I make a deal.
And you go to jail? What aren't you telling me?
Will you give up? Will you go home and take care of the children and yourself, please? Will you do that for me? Because I don't want you here.
He turns his back to her.
This isn't just your problem. It's happening to me and the kids. What happens to you happens to all of us. Whatever it takes, I'm going to find the truth. Good or bad, all of it.
Barbara enters the office of Dawes and Wasaki and holds up a large envelope.
My husband's revised statement of what happened the day and the night of the murder. It's not official. I typed it myself from memory, but it'll get you started.
She tosses it on the table.
You're rehired.
Later, she's walking with Detective Bonnie.
First off, no way there's a body up there. Back then, we'd get one, maybe two murders a year. Bar fights, domestic disputes, you know. No, this was a different animal altogether. I had search parties, dogs, metal detectors, you name it. We searched that mountain inch by inch.
And?
We found two blood types. One that matched the victim, the other we think is your husband. You'll get a copy of the report when the DNA comes back.
Where was the other blood?
Some near the edge of the clearing.
Where Wayne hit Denny on the head.
Some close to the body.
Where Denny was shot.
All this just proves your husband was there.
He admits he was there.
Well, he does now. He's making up a story to conform with the evidence.
Or telling the truth. That's what we both want, isn't it? The truth? That's why you have to try to find Sherry.
There is no Sherry.
Prove it.
She walks away. Later, she's with the lawyers.
It was a mistake to go to Bonnie. We should have hired an investigator, tried to find the girl ourselves.
Why?
Because if he looks and doesn't find, he can testify in trial that he tried to verify the defendant's story and he couldn't. It could work against us.
It was worth the risk. He has the resources to find her. We don't.
Is she still alive?
She's not buried up there.
If she ever existed at all.
Are you married?
I'm married. Travis is divorced. Why?
What if it were you? Your husband, your life.
At some point, face facts.
The fact that he lied, or the fact that you knew him and loved him and trusted him all those years and were wrong. Could you face that fact?
I don't know.
Neither do I.
The detective opens a door to a room filled with file boxes. He takes a box off a shelf and opens it. Inside is Sherry's hat. He compares it to the hat in the sketch of Sherry. Barbara is in her hotel room.
Hello?
They want to make a deal.
A deal?
DeMarco's office, 9 o'clock.
Barbara, the lawyers, and Bonnie are in DeMarco's office.
Involuntary manslaughter, 5 to 10. He's out in 3.5.
Why so generous?
Detective Bonnie shows them the hat and the sketch of Sherry wearing the hat.
It was found in Kennedy's car, preserved in evidence.
Well, maybe we should be talking about dismissing the charges completely.
He was there. He pulled the trigger. He lied about it under oath. That's my case. Nothing's changed.
I had my people collect every yearbook from every high school in the Sacramento area. No graduating seniors named Sherry who look anything like that drawing, or whose parents were teachers.
Talk to your client. Take it or leave it. Clock's ticking. Deal goes away at 12 noon.
Barbara walks to Bonnie.
Could I see those yearbooks?
They have to be returned.
I'll take good care.
Bonnie looks at DeMarco, who nods.
Pull over to the station. I'll have them brought out.
Barbara and her lawyers leave. Later, she's sitting on a bed looking through a yearbook. Several more yearbooks are scattered on the bed. She compares one of the yearbook pictures to the sketch. They're similar, and the name in the yearbook reads Cheryl Gaines. Later, she shows the yearbook to Denny.
Look carefully. The whole page. One picture at a time.
You mean her?
He points inside the yearbook.
Cheryl Gaines. High school junior. Sherry for short.
I'm not sure.
But it could be.
Well, it could be, but I'm not sure. Junior, senior, what does it matter? She's dead.
Look at the date. On the cover, look at the date.
He looks at the cover.
If that was her, you met in August 1972. This was taken 1 year later.
He looks at the picture again. A moving truck is parked in front of a house. The screen reads Sacramento, California. Barbara walks up to the door of a house.
Hi.
A woman's on the porch.
I didn't know if you'd be in. I took a chance.
Oh, hi. Is that your van?
Barbara looks at the moving truck next door.
I thought I'd introduce myself.
Please, come on in.
They enter the house.
Thanks.
The woman brings out a tea service.
So, how old are your kids?
10 and 13, a boy and a girl. You?
Oh, just one. 11, a boy. The grammar school's...
Actually, I'm not... Not from across the street.
You're not?
No. I got your name from the reunion committee. Fremont High School, graduating class 1973. Sherry Waller is your name. And maiden name, Sherry Gaines, right?
That's right, yeah. Do I know you? Were we in the same class?
No. But you met my husband once, years ago.
I don't see how...
He was a passenger in a car, a Cadillac. Picked you up on the road to Eugene, Oregon in 1972. The driver's name was Wayne Kennedy. He died. Actually, he was killed later that same night.
Look, whoever you are...
Barbara. Barbara Traynor. My husband's name is Denny. He was just arrested and charged with the murder of Wayne Kennedy. I need your help.
Well, I don't have any idea what you're talking about.
Your parents were teachers in Sacramento. Math and English, isn't that correct?
You have the wrong person. And I think I'd like you.
What happened on that mountain, Sherry?
The women stand.
If you don't leave right now, I'm calling the police.
Please. You just think about it. Okay, and I'll come back tomorrow morning.
Barbara leaves. Later in a motel room, she's on the phone.
A strange woman shows up at your door and starts firing questions about a murder that happened 27 years ago. I'm going back to see her tomorrow morning. If she has me arrested, then you're my attorneys. I expect you to get me out. No. Don't tell Denny. Not until I'm sure.
The next day, there's a police car outside Sherry's house.
Excuse me.
Detective Bonnie's there.
Are you following me?
Mrs. Waller called DeMarco's office last night. I flew in early this morning.
It's her.
She made a full statement. She's going back with me to Oregon to repeat her statement on videotape.
Did you speak to her?
Bonnie shakes his head.
Barbara, it's not good news.
She walks past him and into the house.
You were there.
Yes.
Tell me.
I don't know what you've been told.
You tell me.
Your husband shot him.
In self-defense?
No. Wayne was stripped to the waist, on his knees, and begging for his life.
Barbara backs away, then turns and slowly walks out. Detective Bonnie's outside the door.
Based on this testimony, the DA's withdrawing the plea bargain. He's up the charges of first-degree murder. I'm sorry about this. For you. I really am.
Found her.
Denny's with Travis.
Well, try to dismiss her testimony on the stand. It was years ago. She was frightened. I mean, she wasn't exactly close enough to see what was going on, and she's had plenty of opportunities to come forward in the past and never did. It's not a lost cause. Mr. Traynor. Mr. Traynor, do you understand what we're saying?
Denny nods.
She's alive.
That's right. Now, as soon as I get a transcript of her statement, I'd like you to look it over and see if you can comment. Do you think you can do that?
Travis leaves, and Denny closes his eyes and starts to sob. Barbara meets Travis outside the cell.
Oh, I think he's in some kind of psychological shock. I want to have him examined by a doctor.
The other lawyer walks up.
You're taping Sherry's statement. We have permission to observe.
Let's go.
The lawyers leave as Barbara watches Denny. Later, Sherry's in a room with Detective Bonnie.
I got free and I ran out of the car and into the woods. He ran after me. I could hear him.
Barbara and the lawyers are watching from another room.
After a while, I couldn't hear him anymore, so I stopped.
Go on, you're doing fine.
I was afraid that I was going to get lost and freeze to death. So I started moving toward the car.
When you got to the edge of the clearing, what did you see?
Young Sherry is walking through the woods. She sees Denny aiming a gun at Wayne. She watches as Denny shoots him.
Wayne was stripped to the waist and on his knees and begging for his life.
What did you do?
I crawled a little bit further, being very quiet. And then I heard a sound near me. Something hitting the branches. So I kept moving until I couldn't see or hear anything anymore.
She starts to sob. Travis turns to Barbara.
I'll arrange for that doctor.
Do you want to be present?
Denny said Wayne Kennedy was living with a woman at the time.
You're right. It was in one of the documents.
Can we get her address?
Sure.
Later, Barbara enters a kitchenware shop.
Hi. Is there anything special I can help you with?
I called earlier. I'm Barbara Trainer.
I guess this is a good time. I'll just...
She flips a sign on the door.
You said you lived with Wayne Kennedy.
For 2 years.
Oh. What do you do for a living?
Odd jobs. Mainly he was a thief. I was very young and very stupid. At least he was chasing other girls half the time.
I'm interested in those other girls. What was he like with them?
He liked them young. Actually, he was just a guy trying to be part of the 60s. It wasn't his era, but he wanted to take the ride.
Do you think he ever forced them?
I know for a fact he forced one or two of them. And he scared them so they wouldn't talk. It was probably just as he died on that mountain.
He was up there before?
It was one of his spots, his hunting grounds.
Did you ever see him with a big silver handgun, a .45 automatic?
Oh, yeah. You mean his stopper.
Later, Barbara enters Denny's cell.
You missed all the fun. Frickin' Freck were here with the doctor to find out if I was nuts. Felt like standing on my head so he didn't waste a trip. I'm not nuts.
She sits next to him.
You were crying. Never saw you cry like that before.
Because she was alive. Because I didn't kill her.
Tried to save her.
Yeah, later. Too late. Earlier I had a chance, and I blew it. And all these years, I've hated myself for being a coward. Worse, a failure. And now,
find out I'm not. At least not completely. So, whatever happens now, I'm grateful for that. And you did that.
He puts a hand on her knee.
You gave me that.
What do you mean? You had the chance.
Young Denny's in the back of the Cadillac as Wayne tries to pull Sherry closer to him.
You're so fat.
I am.
Stop. Please. No, stop.
Wayne, weren't we going to go inside?
Yeah, we're going inside. We are. We're going inside.
Wayne and Denny enter a store.
Howdy. Can we get a couple of pints of your very best cheap whiskey?
Sure.
I'm not going to have a problem with you, am I?
What do you mean?
Sweet Sherry. She wants it. And I am just the guy to give it to her.
She's not for you, Wayne.
What are you, kidding? She's been flirting the whole way. Drinking my booze, taking my ride. Now, it's Big Mac time.
He pushes Denny against a refrigerator and points a finger at him.
You get in my way, and your ass is gonna be out on the highway. You can forget Seattle, okay? That's better.
Denny glares at him.
A couple of ice cream bars?
He puts his arm around Denny.
I'm sorry, kid. I'm just a dirty old man. I get around these young, free-loving hippie chicks, and I just go crazy.
Denny walks back to the car alone with a bag.
I almost split. Your friend scares me.
He's not my friend. You're not interested in him?
Him?
She shakes her head.
What should I do? Should I get out of here?
No. No, you don't want to be out on your own this late. Best thing to do is just stick with us. At least until we hit the next town.
You won't let him try anything. Please.
I promise.
Wayne gets in the car.
Hello, sweetheart.
He hands her an ice cream bar.
She was so young, so vulnerable. I look at our own daughter now. What if it happened to her?
Barbara's still with him in the jail cell.
I could have stopped it before it started. I should have been smarter. I should have been stronger. I shouldn't have been so damn helpless.
You were a kid. You had just one frightening moment to make a decision.
All these years, I felt responsible for her life. I mean, it's funny, isn't it? Now she's coming back to take mine.
Barbara's asleep in bed.
I told you, didn't I? I'm just a dirty old man.
I can't help myself!
Barbara wakes up.
And then I heard something hitting the branches.
Barbara is at a table in a small restaurant when Bonnie and Sherry walk in.
I don't know why I should talk to you. I never wanted to get dragged into this.
It won't take long. I first met Denny, my husband, in 1978. He was working as a traveling salesman, selling farming equipment. After we got married, even after two kids, We never stopped traveling. I thought it was his nature.
Why are you telling me this?
Because it wasn't his nature. Danny wasn't looking for something. He was running from that night on Shadow Mountain.
I'm leaving.
Sherry stands.
You and Danny were running from the same thing. The same night. Two kids got mixed up with someone truly evil and couldn't cope. Well, you're not kids anymore. Wayne Kennedy is long gone. It's time to stop running.
I told the truth.
Some of the truth. You don't want the rest of it to come out in court. You deserve a chance to tell your family yourself.
Sherry sits back down and remembers the night in the woods. Young Sherry is running through the woods and Wayne is chasing her. He grabs her and pushes her to the ground.
I never told anyone. Anyone. That's why I couldn't come forward, because I was ashamed. I got in that car and I drank their wine. And I dressed sexy so I would get rides. I have no one to blame except for myself.
My husband said the same thing. You're both wrong. Wayne Kennedy did it, not you.
She still saw Denny murder Kennedy.
In self-defense.
Sherry saw and heard only two shots.
Sherry didn't have the right angle to see Wayne's gun. She saw and heard the first and third shots. The first and second were simultaneous.
Your husband said he threw the other gun into the trees. We searched that whole area with metal detectors. There was no gun.
Sure there was. Wasn't there, Sherry? There was a gun that night, but it wasn't there the next day when you searched. When you asked her, Sherry said she was moving away from the clearing, crawling. She heard something crash through the underbrush near her. The gun. Where is it, Sherry? What did you do with it?
A police car pulls up next to two others. Sherry and Detective Bonnie are standing in a grassy area watching a man with a metal detector. Barbara is standing off to the side. An officer starts to dig where the metal detector is beeping. Detective Bonnie reaches in the hole and pulls out Wayne's automatic pistol. Later, the lawyers are in a jail cell with Denny and Barbara.
It's Wayne's gun. His fingerprints on the trigger, no one else's, one bullet fired from the clip. I mean, some forensic expert might even be able to match Denny's scar with the type of bullet. It corroborates everything.
So they're dropping the charges?
Any minute.
Even if DeMarco wanted to take it to trial, it doesn't matter. Sherry's our witness now. It's over.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Barbara hugs her.
Thank you so
Thanks.
Much. You're welcome.
The lawyers leave, and Barbara turns to Denny.
You know, there must have been 100 times over the years that I wanted to tell you everything. And every time I kept convincing myself there was some good reason not to. But the truth was, I was afraid.
Of what?
Of losing you. How bad have I hurt us?
She steps closer to him and touches his face.
We'll recover.
I've missed you so much.
She brings her face close to his.
Prove it.
They kiss and then hug. Later, they walk outside together. Denny stops and shields the sun from his eyes, then looks around. Sherry and Detective Bonnie are waiting outside.
Trainer, I've got someone here who would like to say something to you.
Sherry walks up to Denny and Barbara.
Thank you.
She shakes his hand.
Well, I don't deserve that.
You tried your best.
Yeah.
It was a long time ago.
They hug. Later, a cab pulls into the trainer's driveway. Inside the cab, Denny turns to Barbara.
I'm afraid to see him.
Barbara rubs the back of his head. As they get out of the cab, Barbara pays the driver. The cab pulls away as Denny and Barbara slowly walk toward the house.
Daddy?
Sarah runs to Denny and jumps into his arms.
Look at you. Oh.
He lifts her off the ground and kisses her cheek.
How are you?
Good.
Oh, let me look at you. Hey, pal.
Kurt is walking slowly toward Denny. Denny bends down and looks at him.
Everything's okay now, right?
Everything is perfect.
Kurt smiles, runs, and jumps into his arms.
Yeah.
Denny holds him tightly.
Dad, you gotta come in and see what we made for you. Come on, Kurt. Come in.
Denny watches Sarah and Kurt run into the house. He walks to Barbara and puts his hand on her shoulders. She puts her arms around his waist. The screen reads, Denny Traynor was acquitted of the murder of Wayne Kennedy. The Traynor family continues to live and work in Cartwright, Oklahoma. Denny and Barbara walk into the house together.